showtime, folks!
Is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I was send a bit for someone else. While other people always seem to just be on vacation, what they won't get from me, I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can holding all the information.
And a happy Monday to everyone, and welcome in to the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime, clocking in for the first show of the week. Tanner Carson, Tucker Holt alongside you here up until 8 o'clock this evening, cruising along to the end of a gorgeous Monday out here in Knoxville. It's a gorgeous day for Tennessee's birthday. The state of Tennessee today, Tucker, turns 224 years old. June 1st, 1796.
Happy birthday.
We've discussed Mount Rushmore Tennesseans, right?
Maybe.
Like in passing, I feel like we have.
Maybe. I mean, Dolly's on there.
Oh, she has to be. Now we all know that Dolly's on the Mount Rushmore of like all time.
She's got like Washington's spot. Like she's in there
easily. The real debate is Dolly Parton the greatest Tennessean ever? That's the real debate. We all know she's top four. We all know she's Mount Rushmore. Not just because of, right, who she is as a musician, but who she is as a person. Imagination.
Yeah, as a humanitarian.
Oh, man. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
All the money she's donated to everything, it seems like.
Yeah, people who have, like, no idea about her country music, like people, you know.
Or people who only know about Jolene.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad song to know, obviously.
Those people know Dolly Parton, and they know, like, her work for the community and the country.
Oh, yeah. It just makes me realize when I think about Jolene sometimes. Dolly Parton is the sole reason that there's never been a woman who's been born after, like, what, the early 70s when that came out, who was named Jolene.
Yeah.
She made a name extinct.
Yeah, no one likes Jolene.
Because you don't want to be named Jolene.
Some hussy.
Yeah.
Out there trying to take people's mans.
Mm-mm. No, you don't want to be named that. So Dolly Parton, very powerful. So yeah, she's Mount Rushmore. Davy Crockett. I mean, duh.
Duh.
I mean, that's a guy who is synonymous with the state. There's a reason that UT has a Davy Crockett mascot that I really don't think gets enough love.
No.
He's like pushed off to the side behind Smokey. I mean, he should obviously be behind the actual dog, Smokey.
Yeah.
I would put, you know what, I'd put him above Costume Smokey, a.k.a. Doug the Dog.
Doug the Dog.
That Big Kaz named him.
Yeah, the Rifleman logo's top. And that's
the
top
best
tier, yeah.
It's the best. So Crockett's on there. We've had a couple presidents from... Is just being a president, is that enough to get you in consideration for being on the Mount Rushmore? Or I guess you'd have to consider what kind of president they were.
Yeah, you'd definitely have to think about their...
Because there's Andrew Jackson, but didn't Andrew Jackson, he had some issues, probably. History doesn't look upon him too kindly. You also have James K. Polk, who I know history looks upon James K. Polk a whole lot better than to do Andrew Jackson. And then you also have Andrew Johnson, who was also the first president to ever be impeached.
Yeah,
so I guess out of the three, just to be safe, James K. Polk.
Yeah.
Jackson's looked upon, I mean, he's a very important historical figure, but then you get into the whole relationship with Indians in America.
Yeah, the Trail of Tears can disqualify you from Mount Rushmore.
Sorry. Sorry, Andy.
Yeah.
Sorry about that one.
Yeah, not good. Old Hickory, you ain't.
So I'd say James K. Polk, just to be safe then.
Yeah. I mean, he had a great middle school named after him.
He did? That you went to, I assume?
No. Do you get the reference?
I feel like I should. What's the reference?
Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide.
Oh, it was James K. Polk.
I don't know why when you said that name, that just popped right in my head.
Well, Where is that show set? What?
No idea.
Definitely wasn't Tennessee.
Absolutely not. I have no idea. I just know they went to James K. Polk Middle School.
Wow, that's a Ned's declassified school survival.
That's a good
guide.
One, man.
What a blast from the past. That's around the time that when that show came out, that only marked like a few more years I would be watching Nickelodeon.
Yes, that was on the back end of mine too.
I would watch that. I would watch Drake and Josh.
Yep.
Probably some other shows they had. I stopped watching that and like got into, honestly, some stuff that was probably a little too mature for my age at the time, like 11, almost 12 years old. I stopped watching Nickelodeon right before iCarly. So once iCarly was a thing,
I bled over. I was young enough. I bled over into that
area. I didn't. Yeah. I'd already started watching King of the Hill and Family Guy by that
point. I was watching those the entire time.
So, yeah, man, Ned's Declassified.
It's a good one.
Zoe 101.
Classic.
That was a good one. And
oh, what's her name had to ruin it?
Jamie Lynn got pregnant at what, age 16, 17? She wasn't younger than 16.
I think
she was
16. We'll say 16.
Either way.
Maybe 17.
Brittany's little sister just ruined it.
Yeah, I've never forgiven her for that.
I don't think our generation has, honestly.
No, that was a great show that was literally cut short at the height of it. How many do we have right now? Three? We got on a tangent. Do we have three?
Three what?
We've got
Tennesseans.
We got Dolly Crockett.
We didn't agree on James K. Polk. That's the thing. I was just asking a question, just because a president.
Maybe,
comes
but
from
like
state.
When I think of Tennessee, I don't think of James K. Polk. You know what I mean?
No, and he's certainly not the first president you think about.
No,
you think about Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, but he's
what? For someone who likes history like I do, I feel like I should know what James K. Polk did in his presidency. I'm more interested in like 20th century history, so maybe that's why I'm blanking. I don't think he's remembered as a bad president, though.
I think an uneventful president is a good president.
Certainly compared to Jackson and Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, you.
No disrespect to Greenville.
It's a lot better for people to go, I don't really know what he did, as opposed to going, yeah, I know exactly what he did, and it wasn't good.
James K. Polk, 11th president of the United States. Let's see.
How about Elvis on Mount Rushmore?
Oh, well, how much of a Tennessee does he qualify? Now, hold on a second. I know he's synonymous with Memphis.
Yeah.
He is from Mississippi, though.
Yeah, that's true.
But didn't, I mean, Graceland was his home in Memphis. Yeah, he's a Tennessean. Yeah, put Elvis on Mount Rushmore. Okay, so that's our third. So Dolly, Elvis, Davy Crockett.
I'm cheating. I've pulled up I've Googled most influential Tennesseans.
There's some people who have I mentioned to you that they're Tennesseans. You probably wouldn't know if they were Tennesseans off the top of your head. Tina Turner, Tennessean.
3-6 Mafia.
Oh, well, I knew that.
I know. Tina Turner, though?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
West Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
I think Samuel L. Jackson is from Chattanooga. He's like North Georgia, South Tennessee area.
That's cool.
He's like a Georgian, but he's also a Tennessean. Miley Cyrus.
That is true.
The band Paramore from Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. We produced a lot.
Yeah.
We produced a lot of really influential figures from pretty much every walk of life and every different subject. I think we would be most known for producing musical talent, though, I would say. Because we just named Elvis and Dolly, and I mentioned Tina Turner and Paramore, and I mean, just all different genres. Oh, can't forget about the Memphis blues scene, too. Country Nashville, blues out in Memphis.
Yeah.
For as much as I hate Memphis, yeah, pretty good. Pretty important. It's more of the University of Memphis that I don't like. And they don't like East Tennessee a whole lot, so.
Isaac Hayes?
Ooh. Do you know who he voiced on a certain show?
Chef.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Hello, children.
Yeah, that's how I knew Isaac
Hello,
Hayes.
Hello, children. R.I.P. Chef.
Yeah.
Maybe the most brutal death and everything.
Yep.
Anyone else name stuff while I find stuff about James K. Polk real quick? We'll go to these phones here, too.
Yeah, we got a caller who's wanting to give us his Mount Rushmore, so that'll be good. Nobody jumping off the page, really. Morgan Freeman's from Memphis.
I thought, well, maybe Northern Mississippi, because I always thought he's a Mississippian.
Yeah. I don't know, this website, I mean, you can believe everything you read on the internet.
Well, I mean, I do.
You should.
Did you know Polk was only a one-term president? I didn't know that. 1845 to 1849.
Okay.
He was.
I did not know that.
Okay, just looking at some stuff here, but I don't want to get into the whole history of James K. Polk here, but you want to know what he was known for in his presidency?
Yeah, what he did.
Just looking at
the cliff notes,
the Wikipedia page here. I'm going to name some stuff. A pretty big one. The Mexican-American War.
Okay, okay.
Pretty big. Annexation of Texas, along with Mexican-American War. The partition of the Oregon country.
Okay.
So he's in there for big American expansion, yeah. Texas and West Coast.
There's a lot going on then.
Well, it looks like, I mean, again, I don't want to get into, like, fiscal stuff and like development of country, but
yeah,
if you want like the big one, led the country during the Mexican-American War.
Okay,
pretty big war in our history.
We got one more.
Yeah,
Aretha Franklin.
Oh, of course. Woo!
Yeah.
See, all of our musical talent we have produced as a state.
Oh yeah, we put together an all-star team,
and we haven't even like scratched the surface of all the big country stars.
No, not at all.
Unfortunately, we produced Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney,
and I say that post 2005. Before 2005, proud that we did.
It was pretty good, yeah.
After that, you know. Anything else real quick while I grab my headphones?
Al Gore? I mean, I wouldn't put him on Mount Rushmore. He's just a famous person. He told us all about Man Bear Pig.
You get really divisive. You get really divisive if you put Al Gore. But, I mean, it's, when you're talking about, you know, presidents and stuff, I mean, he was a vice president. Could have been a president, so Tennessee could have had four presidents. But yeah, either way, man, I'm sure there's a lot of various different Mount Rushmores that people can put together. But I don't think there's a lot that you put together of the four best Tennessees that I would really, really disagree with. Phone's ringing off the hook already.
Oh, yeah, this is a hot topic.
Well,
I'm
let's go ahead
that.
And get one in here. We still have Buster on the line.
Yep.
All right, hey, let's get to Buster. Buster, Tucker says you want to contribute to the Mount Rushmore of Tennesseans on the state's birthday. What you got for us?
America, East Tennessee, happy birthday. Yeah,
yes,
I heard that this morning. That was cool. As a 63-year-old young man, yeah, I kind of forgot June 1st was the date. But, yeah, I got it this morning, and today's my Sunday. So, guys, we should have Mount Rushmore's on different categories. I mean, entertainment, historical. I think that's the two best. I don't know about political stuff because fake news and invent the internet, it's not my cup of tea. Think about that with Al Gore.
Yeah. I'm in the internet. You should think.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, my daughter married a boy from Houston, and their family's transplanted from Pittsburgh down to Houston in 1972 or 73. And the boy didn't ask me to marry my daughter's hand in marriage when I told him at the Virgin Islands, hey, I think you're a good egg. You got great temperament. And if you ever want to marry my daughter, awesome. Let me know. Let me come down to Houston to this party. And I went by to see him 5 months earlier on my way back from Phoenix stock car racing and see the Mexican border. And he didn't say jack manure to me. But that's okay. Today I think we got it all squared away after he married my daughter April 27th of last year.
Well, congrats.
You know, guys,
yeah.
I think Sam Houston, we go with Davy Crockett, we go with Andrew Johnson, Andrew Jackson. Think about it, guys. East Tennessee, thank you, Carolina, because East Tennessee, Tennessee is made by East Tennessee. It's not Memphis or Nashville, per se. It's, I think those four are, is what we are known for, so. Run that through your machine, but I think we should have Mount Rushmore for entertainment would be all you guys have mentioned today. Now, in closing, I want to give you this tidbit information. My kinfolk is a NASCAR employee, and this last 5 days, NASCAR has finally come around and said, we are going to have fans in the stands, hopefully, if nothing changes, which we are above 76 degrees on temperature, and it's germ and gonna live, August 28th at the Daytona race. And then the next week is when I'm racing at Darlington on Labor Day. And get this, I'm going to say goodbye, but this is hot information. They're going to move the championship race, is what he's telling me, to Daytona in November, because it's like SEC football and Big Ten, everybody. We are not going to play our teams on our schedule away from our campuses. We're going to play SEC. We'll play only SEC games, Big Ten. I mean, I think that would be awesome. So, I've known that for a while. And also, I contacted the university ticket office, and they said to contact the website. I said we need to have put us on the lottery for tickets for games if you've got season tickets and you'll give money. So we don't give money at my family. We should be on a lottery for two or three games. But everybody who gives money should get a season ticket for all games in Knoxville. So, anyway, Overdrive, we appreciate you.
I appreciate the phone call, Buster. What, did we just have, like, a baby with a drive?
I think so.
Named Overdrive. That's a thing that happened a few years ago before you joined us. Bear hopped on for an edition of Overtime.
Yeah.
Bear said, yeah, this edition is now known as Overdrive. I mean, I like the name.
That's not a bad name at all.
I like the name. I've got some. I'm going to run through some of these tweets real quick about some suggestions. Ooh. You remember who's from Oak Ridge / Rockwood, right? And she's like made a comeback recently, as in like the last month.
Couldn't tell you.
After her divorce.
Couldn't tell you.
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox from Oak Ridge?
You never knew that?
No.
Yeah. I don't know how
Does
much.
Does she come back?
See, that's the thing.
Right?
I don't know how much she still claims the area.
I mean.
Because she moved to.
You get that famous.
Moved to Hollywood as soon as she turned 18, and yeah.
Oh, yeah, then she's no.
But she's she still looks amazing. Like, I'm sorry. Not to go back to an old, like, you know, when I say middle school crush, I mean like every middle school boy's crush at that time.
Transformers?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And she was in all these movies and then just stopped. Still looks great.
And she kind of just disappeared, right? Yeah.
In her mid-30s, I think.
She made her money and decided she was done.
She's had three kids.
Yeah.
Looking incredible. She's in that Machine Gun Kelly video. For his new song.
I hadn't seen that.
You need to look it up. Machine Gun Kelly, by the way, he has gone pop punk, at least for this upcoming album.
Yeah, I don't really like Machine Gun Kelly. He's okay.
I don't either. I like this new song, though.
Okay.
Because it's more my cup of tea, but that's beside the point. So Megan Fox, Moondog tweets in Bill Monroe, Grandpa Jones, Tennessee Ernie Ford, Bobby Dodd. That's some of his suggestions. And looking at... Teach Tennessee history from the East Tennessee Historical Society.
I would go with Alvin York.
I was going to mention Alvin York when Buster was on the phone.
Absolute beast.
Yeah. Pretty great things he did in World War
I. Yeah, I just remember reading about that and just being like, that guy is
shot down all those Germans, and he just compared it to shooting turkeys back at home.
Yeah.
I'm just mowing down human beings.
Yep.
Trying to defend myself in this war, going up against the German Empire. Yeah, it's just like
beast.
Turkeys. Just like turkeys.
Yep.
Here are the top 10 influential Tennesseans from the East Tennessee Historical Society. Well, we'll go through these, and then we'll hit our first break here.
Okay.
So they have a cop-out. They have a four-way tie for 10th. Make a decision.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the four for number 10. Austin Peay, very influential.
Yeah. Yes.
William Blunt. Yeah, can't forget William Blunt.
Yes.
Buster mentioned Sam Houston.
Okay.
Really, with Sam Houston, Davy Crockett, yeah, you're welcome, Texas.
Yeah.
You're so welcome, Texas. Henry T. Byrne. All right. Number 9, Davy Crockett. Number 8, Howard K. Baker. Number 7 is Elvis. 6 is Alvin C. York. Number 5, here's a really good one, Sequoia. Sequoia, really influential in Native American history. Then we had number 4, James K. Polk. Number 3, ooh, John Sevier. Yeah, buddy, John Sevier. And then number 2, Andrew Johnson. Number 1, Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
So
you mentioned William Blunt.
Yeah.
Throw in Mary Granger Blunt, his wife.
that what Granger County's named after?
Correct.
Wow, dropping some knowledge. I didn't know that.
I learned that when I was in the Clover Bowl back in fourth grade. That one seared in there.
The Clover Bowl. Oh, there you go. There you go. Happy birthday, Tennessee. If you have some more suggestions for someone who should be on your personal Mount Rushmore of greatest Tennesseans, let us know. Call in 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You can also just tweet at us if you so wish. We're going to hit the first break. We'll get to your phone calls and more when we continue. You're listening to Overtime Fan Run Radio.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
Why do I feel like not to I feel like I have to make humor for just, you know, I feel like the whole nation kind of needs humor right now in like some
for
way.
For sure.
To make humor, you come in with that song. That's a song synonymous with the 60s.
Absolutely.
When you hear that, that's like any movie about the 60s, and especially Vietnam.
I think Forrest Gump.
Definitely. And I think every movie about Vietnam had that. They either have that, or they have Fortunate Son.
Forrest Gump had both.
Because of course it did. Great soundtrack.
Oh, Forrest Gump's got an all-time soundtrack.
The music really helped make the movie really good.
100. I mean, it puts you there.
It captured the time.
Yeah. Really? And that's what a good soundtrack of a movie should do.
What was your... I don't want to like go on another tangent, but I'm just curious. Out of that soundtrack, what was like your favorite like soundtrack moments, I guess? Because there's a lot of them. To me personally, I really liked it when he was going on his run across America in the 70s, and he had the background Fleetwood Mac, Jackson Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Bob Seger.
That is, yeah.
Against the wind.
That is a good, yeah.
So good. What's your favorite from that?
I don't know, man. I'm blanking. You put me on the spot. I can't remember the entire soundtrack, but I know it was good. I when I think of Forrest Gump, besides him, you know, scoring a touchdown against Tennessee, I think that was a little too much. But
I always thought that was LSU. Are we sure that's Tennessee?
Is there purple, though? I'm pretty sure they have orange pants.
I thought it looks more yellow to me.
Hold on. I will Google a picture of Forrest.
I don't know what the team is trying. I guess they're trying to make it Tennessee, but they couldn't have the rights to the actual uniforms. It always looks yellow to me, that team he's playing against.
Hold on.
Are you trying to fact check?
Okay, it's not Tennessee. Yeah. They've got like brown stripes down their pants.
Brown. So it's some like fake.
No, it's like it's very close to Tennessee orange with like a brown stripe. Okay, so it's not Tennessee.
Okay, so there's brown. Then damn it, it's not Tennessee. He did score against Tennessee.
Okay, cool. Anyways, I just see the helicopter scene. Fortunate Son playing.
Dun, 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 dun.
Bow, now. Yeah, that's just. But insert any Vietnam.
The last thing
movie.
You ever heard if you were a Viet Cong in the rice field.
Yep.
That's the last thing you ever heard, just a UE helicopter just blasting that.
Yep.
But yeah, I feel like I had to make a joke because like it makes me think of the 60s, tumultuous time, and it's almost like someone made the tweet that, hey, remember the flu pandemic of 1918? Yeah. Do you remember the Great Depression in the 20s? Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember everything in the 60s?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about that and all in like one weekend?
You're getting like we're getting like 100 years of history in like 6 months.
It was another joke I saw, like kids all the way in like 2040s when they get to chapter about 2020 in the history book and they just lose it. They're just like, I want to read all this.
Yeah, they're like, okay, so here's our other book. It's chapter
2020.
It's chapter 14. It's all 2020.
Chapter 9, murder. Man being murdered like that.
Blatantly, openly,
in which, you
disgustingly.
Know, I'm thankful, but I'm not thankful at the same time that everyone pretty much agrees on the fact that, yeah, there is no, you don't have to see anymore.
No.
You don't have to listen to another side. That was just straight up murder.
Like,
I'm glad we can agree that was murder, but I hate that it took that, you know?
I hate that. Yeah, like, it shouldn't take something so horribly open for people to even acknowledge that there's something wrong. And for the record, I have still seen people saying, well, we don't know the whole story.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do. You've seen the entire story. You're an idiot.
And an independent autopsy report today has confirmed that he died of asphyxiation due to lack of blood flow to the brain. That was a murder. And, I'm just going to be honest. I've been thinking about all day about how to address stuff.
Yeah.
Because you do how do I say this? You always want to make sure that you say the right thing when you mm-hmm. have to address everything, because it's a subject, man.
Yeah, it's heavy,
but it's a subject that you don't need to be silent on.
No, this is something, you know. Typically, we try to steer away from more serious topics, but you don't ignore this. This is like a big moment in history.
Again, we've been saying this all 2020.
Yeah, man, it's absolutely insane.
What the hell happened to the coronavirus? Is that just
I haven't heard a thing about that. Yeah,
because we obviously don't care for social distancing anymore.
People got pissed off enough not to care. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it's just again, man. I know whatever I say is just not going to like capture everything.
No, it can't.
And I'm trying to make sure I'm not going just some tangent about stuff, but
yeah.
It's good. It's okay to say, as like us, as white dudes, that we don't get it.
No, and we
do.
Couldn't.
We just don't get
we
it.
We couldn't.
And that's the thing. That's something that doesn't. And I'm also glad that I've been able to see this weekend that it's something that's just admitting that. It's not something that's political. That does not have to be something that divides politics, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a human thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't get it. It's just like the old South Park episode. You know, Stan finally went up to Token after everything that happened in that episode. He said, Token, I don't get it.
Yeah.
He said, I don't get it. And we just don't. I mean, I don't know where I'm going here. It's okay to admit that, I think.
Yeah.
But it's been rough to see.
It's just so crazy, man. Just some of the stuff that you're seeing coming around everything that has happened this weekend. It seems like something that doesn't happen in America. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's almost just, it's bizarre to see all this stuff so wide open. Things that you can look at and go, that's not right. That is completely wrong. People being mistreated outright, out in the open, on camera, openly, knowingly on camera, going out of their way to mistreat people. It's the craziest thing that I've seen, and it does not reflect any of the ideals of America, in my opinion. It's disgusting.
I think a good thing for just the general public to do now is don't be on social media at night. This is because this is when the real stuff's going down.
Yeah.
And I would think, again, most people are agreeing that there's obviously a difference between protesting, which everyone has a right to do under the First Amendment to this Constitution.
Protected right.
There's a difference between that and rioting. I'm not talking about looting. It didn't break my heart when I saw people steal stuff from Target.
Don't care.
But like I get it's against the law and everything, and that's not right in a sense. It didn't break my heart. What breaks my heart is when I saw the video of the two business owners in Rochester, New York, get beat up with a 2x4 just for doing what? Standing out in front of their store?
Yeah.
That's what is upsetting. It's when people are burning down their neighbor's property, like a small business property. That's upsetting. And let's not forget the upsetting thing that started everything was George Floyd getting killed. People don't need to forget that. I really don't think people need to forget that. And when you have idiots from all over the country going to places where they're not from.
Yes.
Like especially Nashville.
Yes.
just to try to be an edgy anarchist and try to light. Why was he trying to light fire City Hall?
Courthouse.
Yeah, that guy was the biggest jackass of them. Well, there's
throw the book.
There's
at
been
that
bigger
idiot.
Jackasses, yeah. But as far as like someone who is making himself seen,
yes.
I mean, you're out there, no mask.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunists.
No shirt, and all your recognizable tattoos. You've been arrested four separate times. What an idiot.
Yes.
What an idiot. What's the deal with all these big pallets of bricks being placed across sidewalks?
Yeah. One thing, like the you understand why, like I don't agree with burning down buildings, but I understand where they're coming from. If those are, you know, like everybody's pissed.
Yeah.
And they feel unheard, unlistened to. And, you know, when one of the things that's like I saw a lot of people, you know, talking about how the same people, you know, I can't even remember, time is so screwed up now, whenever Kaepernick and all those guys were kneeling, and they were saying, you know, that's not, you know, I see where you're coming from, but that's not how you should do that. The peaceful protest, you know, taking a knee. Well, now the same people are saying, I see where you're coming from, but that's not how you should do that. There's peaceful protest and, you know, violent protest rioting. Both are wrong now. There's no form of protest that, you know, some of these same people are saying. Like, you weren't okay with the peaceful protest, and now you are reaping the benefits of silencing and shutting down, things like that. But at the same time, there are peaceful protests happening right now all over the country, and they are the majority, I would say.
And it's a good thing to see a lot of listening going on
in these.
The other night, man, and I tweeted this at you. When you quote tweet the Killer Mike speech.
Excellent.
And Killer Mike is a dude who, like, I know I disagree with him on, like, political stuff when it comes to, like, I guess economy, things like that. I mean, he's a Bernie bro, whatever. Not going to get into all that. That's an authentic person.
Absolutely. 110%.
That is an authentic alpha leader is who Killer Mike is. I have always respected him. I've always liked his music, either solo or Run the Jewels. And he is authentic. I might disagree with him on, like, some other political stuff, but, like, this right now, man, him coming out there showing leadership, saying
that
we're
speech,
cut different in Atlanta.
That speech he gave me chills. All like that was so real and just so well put, and just
that was so impromptu.
Absolutely,
he wasn't reading a teleprompter.
He just spoke so eloquently and just placed his thoughts so perfectly in a way that anybody could understand them, and it was great.
Yeah, he was good to see. But yeah, man, I don't know how much longer it's going to be popping off really, really crazy every night. I'm glad nothing really bad's happened in Knoxville.
But I hope some good comes out of it.
That's the thing. And that's what you always hope for,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But it's like, is it? That's what you always have to remember in the back of your mind. Is it?
Yeah.
It feels a little bit different in a way this time. But I don't know. You'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen protests and stuff, you know, in the past, 5 years, you know, stuff like that. Nothing like this. Yeah. Absolutely. This paired with what happened to, I can't remember his name, but I'm like the guy who was chased down.
Oh, Ahmaud Arbery.
Yes. That coupled with this and
coupled with the virus.
And with the virus and everything going on at once, it just came to a boiling point, and people are fed up.
It's been like a tinderbox.
Yeah.
That's what it's really been like. Again, what it all boils down to is something that shouldn't be divisive about, you know, agents of the state murdering someone.
Everyone should agree that's a horrible thing.
And again, it made me realize about Minneapolis specifically, their police department has a long history.
It's notorious. I believe
it's bad.
I believe a few years ago they were found out to have multiple active KKK members on the force. If I'm not reading bad information, excuse me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read that correctly. That was a few years ago, though. I don't think they do now, obviously. That known. But yeah.
It's a tough thing to talk about all the what am I trying to say here? All the different aspects that led us to where we are right now, but it's just uncomfortable conversations that aren't bad to have.
They should be.
And they should
had.
And they should be.
I mean, that's the stuff that America's about, you know, like civil discussion and change coming from it.
But again, and not to take attention from the one thing that just made people so fed up, which was George Floyd being murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Not just died, murdered. Not to take away from any of that. Before anything else gets discussed, you have to remember that one of the many. I really just wish people would like stop hurting like innocent people and like their communities that have had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
When it comes to like, again, you have the right to protest. You have the right to vent your frustrations out there on the street. You absolutely do. But what is gained though from hurting your fellow man like that?
Nothing.
That's just what I'm wondering. And I'm glad that a lot of smaller business owners, I'm glad I've seen a lot of people taking the, I've lost my train of thought. There's basically making the stance that, yeah, I'm probably going to be armed if you try to come in here and start some stuff. Yeah. So just get ready for that. Second Amendment's for everybody. So I'm glad to see that as well. But what I'm most glad to see, though, is the fact that there has been good conversations had.
Oh, a lot. You're starting to see, you know, like, I think it was in North Carolina, one of the sheriffs met with, like, a group of protesters and was like, what, you know, he was talking to them and like, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do? And they said, march with us. And he took, you know, he had already taken off the helmet and he had all his men take off their helmets and put down their batons and stuff like that. And he said, okay, let's go. And he marched with them.
And that's the thing that obviously will make a lot of people just terrified if they see militarized police.
Yes. That's instantly something.
Regular police should not be militarized.
No.
It's one thing if you know there's going to be like a big like riot on hand.
Yes.
And you wear some protective stuff. There's police that are like militarized out there. That
instantly.
They don't need to be. No, that doesn't need to happen. I have problems with that.
And I've actually seen, like, video. It's pretty awful. A lot of, like, there's been pictures and stuff of officers, like, you know, protesting with groups. And then, like, an hour later, shooting them with tear gas.
Yeah, the whole shooting random people with the rubber bullets.
Which is actually a metal bullet covered in a thin coat of rubber.
Yeah, get the hell out of here with that stuff. I'm sorry.
Aiming for the head. I've seen at least 4 or 5 different people lose an eyeball in this stuff, losing sight over this. Media reporters reporting walking horizontal and away from the line of officers, and one of the officers walk out of the line, actively chasing them, not chasing, you know, tracking them, walking like they're walking the same direction away and start shooting them while they're live on air.
And all those actions need to be covered. And they
absolutely
need to be reported.
Yes.
Literally every single citizen in this country, they need to be aware of that stuff because police are supposed to be public servants
yes.
at its core. And I'm going to stop right here and say I'm not painting with a broad brush, obviously.
Yes.
But we are talking specifically about these recorded, documented incidents where do know someone who is absolutely innocent is being peppered with basically what you said, bullets that are just covered up. I saw the video of the people being shot out on their porch with that stuff.
Yeah.
Now that's infuriating.
That made me so mad.
An agent of the state should never do anything with your private property without a damn warrant.
Yes.
Again, there's a whole lot. We've covered a whole lot here and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope no one's looking for answers when they hear us, because we sure as hell don't have answers.
I don't have a single one, man.
I feel like we just can't ignore what happened, though.
You can't.
And I don't feel pressure to talk about it either. I could have just been talking about you know, Tennessee's birthday and other stuff.
Yeah.
Pushed under the rug, but, I mean.
You kind of have to, this one.
America's kind of burning.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. was literally burning.
I mean, the largest, I mean, the most protests across the country ever, right? I saw that
somewhere. I
don't know. May not be true. I mean, you know, in 68 after, you know.
There's a whole lot going on in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's true. But man, it's just it's kind of crazy to me, and I know it's technically not a war crime when it's not during war, but even in like the, you know, during war, it is a war crime to fire upon media, first aid, stuff like that. But yeah, the police, like, I saw a video of a woman, and I know we got to go to break. I'll wrap up real quick.
There
was a guy shot and like with one of those rubber bullets, and he was like bleeding profusely.
Yeah.
And there was a woman who knew first aid, and she was doing first aid to him. The cops ran up while she was doing that and started peppering her until she left him.
Yep. In Geneva Convention, there is a reason that any country in any theater of war that was known to do that to a medic, a field medic, charged with war crimes.
Yes.
I mean, and like in this situation, whether or not it's a real bullet doesn't make a damn difference.
No, the dude was bleeding out of his leg like crazy.
Let's hit this break here. Since we already talked about all this, try to end it on like a little bit more positive note when we come back, because I really, and this is something that I'm sure most people have already read and seen, but I really want to talk about our university's statement.
Okay, yeah.
As an athletic department. Mm-hmm. Really want to do that. 865-546-8200 is our number if you'd like to call in. 546-8200. Going to end hour number one of overtime when we come back. All right, before we hit the end of the hour here, I want to end some stuff on a hopeful, positive note talking about all of this. And again, we don't have answers to anything. No one who's spoken about this on our airways today has actual answers. But I do think, again, it goes along with the theme of one of the best things you can do at like the very moment is just talk about it. Talk and listen. And especially listen to people who can give you a new perspective.
Yep.
And one more time, I'll say it ad nauseum, but it's something that shouldn't be like a political thing. It should be a human thing.
Yes.
There are certain things that I think we can all agree on that would just, it crosses so many barriers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that, and I don't know if I'm going to have time to read all this statement here. I'm going to read some of this statement. It was released yesterday, the Unified Statement from Tennessee Athletics Leadership. This was from Philip Fulmer and the 15 head coaches for the University of Tennessee Athletics. We hold our student athletes to very high standards. With rare exceptions, our young men and women meet those standards and represent themselves, their families, their teams, and the University of Tennessee with excellence academically, athletically, and socially. Right now, our student athletes are hurting. They navigate an emotional road of sadness, confusion, and rage. Our black student-athletes carry the added burden of fear and hopelessness, an old wound torn open again by the horrifying auto-repeat playlist of viral violence in our country that seemingly will not cease. Again, it's a lot to read here, but I'm going to skip around here. Society could benefit by injecting into our communities an element of the team mindset that exists in the sport locker room. It's widely accepted that sport teaches valuable lessons about leadership, discipline, collaboration, dependability, and perseverance. However, the most impactful and life-changing lesson sport teaches might actually be the lesser-touted ability to fully accept and embrace people who are different from us and have very different life experiences. On healthy teams, if you wear the same jersey as me, I've got your back. Regardless of race or ethnicity, it doesn't matter. Let's go to work together and win, period. Two more paragraphs here. I got time to read it. Whether you're reading this or wherever you're reading this, it likely holds true that the cultures that exist in the sports programs at your local high school or college are much healthier than the culture in your local community. Why do these healthy cultures exist in small sports teams' locker rooms all across the country, but not in our larger communities? What can we study within a healthy team dynamic that can be applied to a metropolitan city or a rural farm town? As coaches, we don't have all the answers to fix what's been broken for so long. But if total acceptance, understanding, and empathy, regardless of human differences, can coexist on sports teams, those things should be able to coexist anywhere. And a really powerful way to end this right here. Vol Nation, let's rise up to the challenge to meet a new standard. If you're going to support our black student athletes when they compete, please have the courage to support them and their families in their daily pursuit of peace, happiness, and equity.
That's really good.
I mean, of all like the brand statements that have been put out over the weekend, and I say this without the bias of being a Tennessee fan, that's a really strong one.
That's a damn strong one. And that's a really good point, talking about just teams and locker rooms and stuff like that. You're all one. Like, that's a really good point to be made.
And I mean, not to be like cheesy cliche, but I mean, there's a lot of movies already about that show that dynamic. Remember the Titans?
Yes.
That's a very big one.
That's exactly what I thought of whenever you said that.
Let me do the little...
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
It's...
I already kind of did. I'm already calling Periscope forever. But yeah, man, it's strong.
That was really good.
That's strong. I mean, that's Phil Fulmer on his name right there and the rest of our coaches from all sports.
It makes me glad to have those people representing our university.
And Phil Fulmer is a man who loves all Tennesseans.
Yes.
That's a man who has been in so many locker rooms of all these different cultures and backgrounds. And, you know, I don't know exactly what the locker room dynamics were throughout his whole tenure, but I guarantee you, especially in like championship winning years, I mean, you all come together, you all have each other's back, and the only color you see at that point's orange because you're all a team. So that's that's a good statement.
It is good. That is really good.
It is so good. But yeah, man, I'm happy that overall in Knoxville at least, there's been nothing crazy that has popped off. I know that the Knoxville I know at least community of love, like a team mindset.
Yes,
and that's not to say that I don't see your differences because I don't want to think about like the color blindness or anything like that.
It's like
I see them, but and I don't understand, but I'm with you though.
Yes, absolutely.
Again, I can't say things
110%.
Perfectly. I'm trying to say things the best I can. I haven't done a perfect job at it.
I think you've done well.
I don't think a lot of people... only well? Oh, thank you. Is it C+? Not to get me passing?
B-.
Hell yeah. Okay. Boost that GPA. We have to take a break, though. We're up against it. Hour number two of overtime is coming up on the other side. Just stick with us.